We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Welcome in, episode 83, Hogan Johns here. And right as we were getting ready to start tonight, some news broke and everything kind of went a little crazy. Especially on Twitter. My God. People are freaking out about Mark Sanchez.
You know, we should have like some ominous foreboding music queued up, according to the people on Twitter. I mean, you would think they just signed. I don't know who could kind of replicate the negative reaction that Mark Sanchez generated on Twitter from Bears fans, but I don't get it. I really don't.
I just find it funny because it's like they sign Connor Shaw and everyone loves it. Guy who played like 5 minutes in the preseason last year was hurt the whole year. And then they signed Mark Sanchez, who, yeah, we know his career at this point. But everyone's like acting like the entire season's going to be a complete failure. Now, this signing, look, if either one of those guys is playing next year, then yes, it's a problem. But this signing of Mark Sanchez does not like dictate like they want to go with him as the future of this team. And I don't think it has any impact whatsoever on the draft either.
The Bears literally had two quarterbacks under contract, Mike Lennon and Connor Shaw. Did you not think anybody out there in Twitter land that they would not sign a veteran quarterback?
Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll break this thing down. This is episode 83. Hogan Johns here. We'll call this the Willie Gault episode, not the Marty Bennett episode. He's on the Packers now, Adam. You just can't. You can't do that. Think about how many people would unsubscribe because
I gotta say, when he tweeted out that picture of himself wearing that Packers hat, knowing how stylish that he is, that was a very ugly look for Martellus Bennett. I mean, that's that Packers hat in general is just a bland. We'll just call it bland and just kind of dull, right? That Packers hat he was wearing, but for a guy that has his style, who could be pretty flamboyant in his attire, that did not seem to fit him whatsoever.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I like the Packers uniforms. I think they're kind of, you know, a classic NFL look on the field, but their gear off the field. It's not.
Oh, but that baseball hat's ugly.
Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like most NFL baseball hats are ugly.
That's true. Although I will say the Bears one with that kind of cursive B ain't too bad.
Okay. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com, where Adam has something up on Mark Sanchez because he delayed this podcast by 90 minutes. But at least
I should have had it ready. You called me out on it.
But at least this time it was a valid work excuse. Usually you're just an hour late to be an hour late.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. So secretly, what I'm doing is stopping at that Urban Barbecue on the way to your house and just kind of picking out before I get there.
Well, you should give me a heads up. We should just do the podcast from there. It's great food.
I like to be a glutton in private, Adam.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. By the way, you can find the podcast on iTunes by searching Hogan Johns. And I found this out, too. I don't know why I never knew this. You can listen to it on the TuneIn app. You can just search for Hogan Johns on TuneIn, and it'll come up with our latest episodes and play them right away. So you can, if you use the TuneIn app to listen to your radio or your podcast, you can do that as well. All right, so Mark Sanchez. I mean, other than him being a name that people know, I just look at this like the third quarterback that's on your depth chart. And a guy who's been in a bunch of quarterback rooms in his NFL career and can probably help a Mike Glennon, can probably help a Connor Shaw, can probably help a guy you're probably still going to try to draft at some point. Now, let me start with this. Do you think it has any impact? Because I immediately got this. And in fact, Adam Schefter even tweeted this out, but he also tweeted out that David Fales is on the depth chart, which he's not. He's not under contract right now with the Bears. But he tweeted out that he can't see the Bears taking a quarterback in the first round. Do you think that has anything to do with Mark Sanchez? I mean, it's not necessarily wrong, but I'm not sure that has anything to do with signing Mark Sanchez.
Yeah. I mean, David Fales is inside. I don't think it has anything to do with the draft whatsoever. Yeah, first of all, the draft, it's. I get that people are going to hype up Deshaun Watson, Mitch Trubisky. Deshaun Kizer's the one of the day. It's just this is hype season for the NFL draft, and people are going to get carried away by what they do at pro days where they're throwing in shorts to receivers in shorts, and everything is scheduled. Everything is kind of set, right? That's not real football. That's just not even practice football. It's design football, whatever you want to call it. But the hype train kind of gets away. But this is still – in general, a very mediocre class. This is still – it's got a lot of question marks. Now, that said, I don't think this precludes the Bears from drafting one whatsoever. Ryan Pace is on the record saying he prefers an experienced backup. He said it last year when Brian Hoyer was signed. I like experienced backups. So this is what you have. You have a guy who has started, 72 games in his career, something like that? It's a lot more than a Connor Shaw with his one game for Cleveland in 2014.
Yeah, I mean, you can have worse backups. This is kind of how I felt with Brian Hoyer last year when they brought him in. I think they're very comparable signings. Hoyer's probably a little bit of a safer quarterback and probably slightly better. But both of these guys are journeymen, backups. You know, guys that weren't really consistent starters. And you know, the only difference is that Sanchez was the fifth overall pick at one point, and Hoyer wasn't. You know, Hoyer's a guy that kind of had to work his way up as a middle-round draft pick, whereas Sanchez kind of had all that. He's kind of carrying around that bust word throughout his career, but he still had a pretty long career, and he's still, you know, going to be entering a training camp. And look, this is probably just going to be a one-year deal with, I mean, you could cut him. There's no guarantee he's on the team coming out of training camp.
Mm-hmm. It is a one-year deal. And, again, it's I don't get the negative reaction on Twitter. I know Twitter is the place for negativity. Did you really just think, people, that it was just going to be Mike Glennon, Connor Shaw, and a possible draft pick? The draft is a very unpredictable thing. You don't know who's going to fall. You don't know who's going to move up. You could target a certain quarterback in the second round, but someone could trade up and get him. I mean, teams sign quarterbacks. People like a lot of quarterbacks. As last year proved, you could always have – you need a lot of quarterbacks. The Bears started three of them last year. Injuries happen. I don't get the outrage. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't either. All right, we got a lot to get to here in kind of a short period of time, so let's run through this. Another small piece of news today, Vic Fangio was at Stanford's Pro Day. We saw last week at Deshaun Watson's Pro Day, the Bears had the whole gang out there. Ryan Pace is there. John Fox is there. Nobody was at Deshaun Kizer. I shouldn't say nobody. There was a couple scouts at Deshaun Kizer's Pro Day today, but then it was reported that they're – Bears are probably going to have a workout with Deshaun Kizer, private workout. So do you make anything of, you know, who's showing up at which pro days and what it might possibly mean?
I don't. Sometimes it just comes down to scheduling and what meetings the general managers and coaches have. Obviously, the Bears have had people in and out of Halas Hall all week. Now these are minor signings. Even Mark Sanchez, for as big as he is a name as he is, minor, I guess he is your number two, number three. He is your backup quarterback, despite his name. But Ryan Pace likely wants to be there. John Fox likely wants to be there. So, so much is made about who is where and what they're doing, you know, who's paying attention. A lot of this time of year, it's so misleading. There's smoke shows. There's tough things to – interest is a tough thing to gauge. I mean, just because the Bears sent five people, notable people, to Clemson doesn't mean they actually like Deshaun Watson. They may have actually fallen more out of love with Deshaun Watson down there after getting a chance to see him throw and his, again, his scheduled, his predetermined pro day. I mean, pro days, look, they're good for setting new 40 speeds and seeing more athleticism from your skill positions. But in terms of the throws these guys are making, sure, I think you want to see some accuracy and things like that. You don't want to see things go completely bonkers, but everything is so scheduled at these pro days. I try not to get carried away by them.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you learn more from private workouts too, right? Then, because everything is, you're controlling it. These pro days, you're not controlling it. It's done in a group situation, very structured and out of your control. So, you know, I'm not saying this is the case, but you could look at it like the Bears could potentially be more interested in Kizer because they're choosing to do a private workout with him as opposed to everyone just showing up at the pro day for Watson. I'm not saying that's the case, but the point is you can look at this in many different ways. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. So, yeah, I'm kind of with you on the same page. I do think it shows some kind of interest. You know, in Vic Fangio's case, going out to Stanford, it's kind of like a homecoming for him, right, out in the San Francisco area. But there, you know, that does kind of show some interest, right? In I'm blanking on his name now, Thomas. Stanford.
I personally like, if I'm doing my mock draft right now, I'm picking Solomon Thomas at number 3. I think he's a more versatile piece. I think his ceiling is a bit higher than Jonathan Allen, and Jonathan Allen has those arthritic shoulders, which would be a very black mark for me, red flag for me. You never know when things are going to give way there, especially when you get to the next level. You know what? Do you remember what Phil Emery used to do? Now, I know this is a bad example, but teams do this. Phil Emery would send his assistant coaches all over to go meet with some prospects, right? I remember the Matt Kavanaugh, David Fales one, where David Fales up Matt Kavanaugh in some beater car, right? That's what these teams do. So a lot of the information they acquire from these guys isn't going to be so publicly known. It's going to be in these one-on-one accurate interactions that teams have when they send their coaches out. It's going to be in the meeting rooms or extra meetings that these scouts get. It's going to be in the scouts' research of these players talking to their families, their friends, their teammates, former teammates, and whatnot. So, look, I know pro days are fun to watch. It's like the combine, but this information gathering process can really go both ways, and it's far from over.
Did you happen to see the story on Adam Schefter in the MMQB today?
I did.
Very interesting piece where, I mean, I found it very insightful. MMQB basically followed Adam Schefter around all day on free agency day, the start of the new league year, and kind of just profile what Schefter does. But there was a very interesting Bears nugget in there because, according to the story, Alshon Jeffrey called Adam Schefter in the middle of the day. This was before he agreed to terms with the Eagles, before he could even sign at 3 o'clock our time, Central Time, when the league year officially started. He called Adam Schefter looking for basically for some advice and wondering what the wide receiver market was out there. And Schefter, you know, talked to him, went through it. He had those conversations, and then he said, you know, please let me know what you ultimately decide, Alshon. And then, of course, we find out that Alshon is going to the Eagles, and we find out via Josina Anderson, who Alshon decided to call. Instead, I just found that very funny that after Adam Schefter gave him advice, he didn't give him the scoop. But then Alshon comes out today after the story comes out and denies it on Twitter. Basically denies that he even talked to Adam Schefter, which I find very hard to believe didn't happen because we're talking about one of the most credible reporters and we're talking about a story that was written firsthand as all this was happening. So I don't know. I just found that whole story very interesting.
Yeah, I don't think that Alshon Jeffrey's name gets in that story without Adam Schefter's approval. Right. It's just.
And by the way, I don't think it even gets mentioned in that story if Alshon calls Schefter with the scoop.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was thinking. It struck me as, look, this may not be the case. This is just my hypothesis, as very intentional.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That so many other sources were protected in that story.
I think Alshon was the only one named.
Yes, yes, yes. So that was, don't use me, right? That was a message. Again, it's just my theory about the Schefter dynamics. I know he is an information king. We in the reporter business, that's what we do. We trade information. You know, that's what we have. That's our currency, is information. And no one has more than Adam Schefter. He is the major, preeminent, you know, king of insiders. It's what he is. So it did strike me as very intentional from Schefter and the writer that Alshon Jeffrey was the player mentioned. And you know what? As we turned out, as we look at Alshon's deal and how incentive based it is, and how it really isn't even $14 million, the true $14 million. It's kind of funny how things kind of played out for him. And here he is now defending himself on social media.
Yeah, which I found weird. I don't even. It's like when I read that, I didn't find it weird that he reached out to Adam Schefter. I found it weird that it was being named in the story. I didn't find it weird that he did that. So I thought it was odd how he came out so strongly denying it today. But whatever. That sounded like some personal stuff maybe going on behind the scenes.
I mean,
there.
He did. Adam Schefter had him on his podcast.
Yes, I listened to it.
So
Like, what was that, a week before free agency started?
I think it was during the combine. I remember listening to it during the combine. So there's a relationship there. It's real. Again, that's my hypothesis. That's my theory, that Schefter felt scorned. And, you know, that's what you get if you mess with the insider.
Don't mess with Schefty.
There you go.
All right, so... the other small piece of news, I want to get to a couple questions here too from that I solicited on Twitter. But before that, so Ricky, is it Jean-Francois? I don't know. This defensive lineman who visited the Bears the other day, visited Seattle, visited Green Bay, ends up going to the Packers. I'm not going to pretend like I've seen him play a ton in his career. Seemed like a good depth option, maybe a guy that could push for a starting spot. I still think the defensive line is a spot where they need at least one more key player, and they need some depth. But he ends up signing with the Packers. So, you know, similar schemes, similar, you know, guy that's instead going to go there. Now, is he good? Is he bad? We'll find out. But I just, you know, I always find it funny when a guy, not funny, but interesting when a guy visits both places and he signs with the other one.
Yeah. I know the Fangio link was supposed to be the Bears connection there, right? Like, he was a pretty good player with them. Who did he sign with after the 49ers?
Well, wasn't he in Washington?
Yeah, but did he go to the Colts first?
I'd have to look it up.
But he got, like, a big money deal coming out of there. And, again, I think he's, like, a good example of what free agency can be. Quite risky, because you really don't know about what you're going to get. But the Packers are a win now team, $3 million. They don't throw money around like that a lot. I'm surprised he actually made it out of Seattle. Yes, he did go to Indianapolis. I got it right here.
Yeah.
After four seasons with San Francisco, he went to the Colts for two. Must have gotten released. Spent two seasons with the Redskins. But I think according to Pro Football Reference here, Ricky Jean here, only started seven games last year. So
it's a depth guy. He's 30,
I don't know.
He's 30 years old.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Bears, it wouldn't hurt for the Bears to have one of those guys. But he's not going to make or break this season. Unless, you know, he comes up with, you know, a huge sack and breaks Mike Glennon's collarbone and the Bears are screwed. If you want to go really negative and dark and deep, like people do on Twitter.
Yeah, well, are we on Twitter?
We are on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns.
I don't see. Like, okay, when the Bears signed CJ, or they agreed to terms with CJ Wilson, like the day after Ricky Jean here left Hallis Hall, That was a sign to me that, okay, they're obviously too far apart. He didn't like their deal. Let him go on his little tour. Let him go find the money that he wants. Let him find the best situation that he wants. You know it as well as I do. Brian Pace has a price in mind, and he does not break from that price.
Yeah. No, I mean, we've definitely learned that, I think, so far. So.
And look, they're a bunch of wins and losses aren't going to be like Mark Sanchez. You're not planning for them to be the end-all, be-all in your season. Yeah. Ricky Jean-Francois is not the end-all, be-all for that defensive line. Yes, he could have been a nice depth piece, rotational piece. I think they're still high on Jonathan Bullard. I think they like to see him kind of beat out Mitch Unrein this year. And you know what? Again, you got Jonathan Allen and Solomon Thomas. There's possible options at number three. So nothing to panic about when a guy signs with the Packers. I get it, it's because the Packers, but it's still nothing to sign about, to panic about.
Yeah, this is a good segue right into some of our questions. By the way, I should mention, I'm in Arizona right now, and Adam is not. Adam is still back home in Chicago, and that's why you're.
Yes,
he sounds pretty good, but there have been some cut-ins here and there that you've heard him skip out a little bit. That's why I'm in Arizona for the NFL owners meetings, which are starting in a couple days. As we record this on Thursday night, they start Sunday. Came down early, getting some baseball in, which is always just a terrible assignment to have to cover baseball in the desert. Of course, it's not. So anyway, that's kind of the situation right here. The reason you're not here, or you're not even coming here, is because you're expecting your third child, Adam.
And yes, yes.
So for all of our loyal listeners, please reach out to Adam and, you know, keep him in mind. And when the moment comes, let's all congratulate him together, which is
hopefully coming soon. I will be disappointed. Yeah, for my wife's sake, hopefully soon. We're all excited here. We have no idea what it is. We don't know if it's going to be a boy or girl. So
right.
We're one of those people who like to be excited.
So right now it's an it, and I was hoping it would come tonight while we were recording the podcast. I guess we still have about 9 minutes for that to happen. That would certainly make this an episode worth listening to if it isn't already.
Nobody is screaming upstairs. I'm doing this podcast from my basement, and nobody is barking at me to get off this phone call yet. It's not like I've, you know, if you hear something that resembles a sneeze again at the end of this podcast, that could be me running off to, you know, rush my other children away to the babysitter or to their grandparents, and me finding my wife and getting her to the hospital. But so far, so good. All quiet in the Johns household.
You mean like that? That's yeah. Our signal?
It's classic. It's classic. I get like questions and taunts, or I don't want to say taunts, but jokes about that on Twitter from our loyal listeners out there. So thank you, everybody.
we love the sneeze. All right, so some questions. Speaking of Twitter, at Joey, actually at Joe Yeoman, can you talk about the D-line depth outside of Hicks and Goldman? Does Bullard, Sutton, or Ferguson rise up? I think you kind of just touched on this. I mean, really, I think the key guy there is Bullard, third-round pick last year, who, you know, a lot like Whitehair, seemed like he was going to be a guy who was ready early, and then he just wasn't. He just didn't really come on like it was expected during the season. So, I mean, I think that that's a key guy on that defensive line because I think he's already sort of in boom or bust territory. Is he going to take a step forward, or is he going to kind of go down the same path as Will Sutton and Eagle Ferguson, who were mentioned in this tweet? And I think by now, guys, unfortunately, we know who those guys are, and I wouldn't really count on them going forward. And it's a very realistic possibility that, you know, one or maybe both of them don't even make this team.
Well, Eagle Ferguson was waived last year. He was cut. The only reason he's still under Bears contract is because he was injured.
Yeah.
So he is technically still part of the Bears until he passes that physical. Then I imagine he is gone. When a player gets waived and their locker disappears and he goes off to rehab on his own, it's a real clear sign of where he stands with the organization. I don't see him coming back. And in Will Sutton, again, very I'm kind of torn. I think he played all right. I think he's trying to find a fit there in Vic Fangio's scheme, but I don't think he's too – he's definitely on the bubble, I would say, heading into this offseason program and training camp.
Yeah. All right, at G-Man215 asking, I've always maintained that the Bears wanted a defensive tackle. It says McDonald. I'm thinking – this means Aaron Donald, though, because the follow-up is, yeah, he was drafted by the Rams. So he's talking about Aaron Donald. They settled for Kyle Fuller. The question is, has Fuller fallen out of favor?
Now you have a great read
yeah.
on the Kyle Fuller situation,
well,
so go for it.
I think the answer is he's fallen out of favor. I think it's fair to say that. Not to the point, though, where they're ready to cut ties with him. Otherwise, they would have already done it. And my understanding is they want to keep him around. They still look at that first-round pedigree. They see the injuries he's been through, and they also see the tape of those first couple games he had, which, by the way, Vic Fangio was still with the 49ers, I believe, in that one game that we always talk about being celebrated when Kyle Fuller went into San Francisco and had two takeaways, right? Vic Fangio
yeah,
was
yeah.
still the defense. So, I mean, I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I'm just saying, I mean, they're very well aware of that. And so right now, they still look at him as a guy who can compete for a starting job, you know, and they're not going to – there's no reason to just cut him right now when he still has that first-round pedigree. So, but is he assured a starting job? Absolutely not. I think he has. I think it's fair to say he has fallen out of favor at least a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, especially look what the Bears did in free agency this year. Prince, I got to learn how to say this name right, like Taitel Fabluje.
You got
Amukamara. I have it in front of me. Amukamara, there we go.
Amukamara. Fabluje.
Fabluje. You know, Prince Fabluje, whatever you want. 27-year-old cornerback, former first-round pick. Marcus Cooper, player on the rise, 27 years old, 3-year contract. Kyle Fuller is now behind both those guys, Tracy Porter, maybe a little Cravon LeBlanc, maybe a little Bryce Callahan. So, yes, the talent potential is there, first-round pick. You got to put it all together. I mean, the Bears are really putting him on the bubble this offseason with their moves, I think.
All right, one more serious question. This is from at a link 50201. I was like, I'm reading off some kind of code here. Given the
anything else?
Yeah, I don't know. Given the Jets' reported love of Mitch Trubisky, are they a potential trade partner and pick up their second rounder to leap the Jags? By the way, I think that would take a lot more than just their second rounder for the Bears to make that deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you're flapping the first round picks, maybe adding a second and third round, or maybe something for next year. But again, I warn of all these reports of teams being in love with certain players. This is lying season, man. This is the season where everybody has smoke screens, smoke shows, and you know they don't mind dropping certain things to reporters, knowing that they'll go run with it, and it's a complete fabrication. This is what they do. This is what happens at this time of year.
Yeah. All right, and we'll finish with the two most important questions. The first, coming from at Air Max, again, some numbers here, 11267. Is at Larry Mayer an elite writer?
Yes, I do think so. Do you ever see his Lunch with Larry's?
Yeah, Lunch with Larry's. I think he – is he a stronger assistant wide receiver coach, though?
Ooh. Well, I was actually surprised he was not promoted once Curtis Johnson left for the Saints.
Right.
So yeah. I would say that he should stick with his career in journalism, if that's what he does. I love you, Larry. I'm just kidding. Yes, he should stick with writing.
You could have gone harder with the air quotes there.
I know.
There's just like a subtle air quote there that you could just barely feel, but I think I picked up on it. Speaking of writers, so you were going to get after me for this, but I would just like to point out that at last night's Cubs game, the Cubs played the Reds, and in Arizona, a ginormous storm came out of nowhere to end the game early. I don't know how that happens in Arizona, but it happened. The only two Chicago writers there covering the game were Bears writers. Your response?
Are you cheating on me?
No.
This is...
I mean...
Well, first of all...
Where's a Gordon Whitmire on a Wednesday night in Arizona when the Cubs are playing the Reds? I mean,
where's a Paul Sullivan? Where's all the seasoned veterans?
Where's a Mark Gonzalez? Where's a Bruce Levine? I know they're all
Rogers.
Down here. Yeah.
I mean, those guys know exactly what they're doing. Apparently, the two guys who had no idea what they're doing decided to stay for the game and get caught in the storm.
Yeah. Well, see, maybe the joke is on us because we had no idea it could even rain in Arizona. And the other Bears writer there is Dan Weider, who is also like me down here a few days early for the NFL owners meetings covering some baseball. And we were so lost trying to get in this place. The credentials were, and I'm not making this up, the credentials to get in the gate where we were a mile away in a different building.
Ugh.
And we had to go get them.
Well, who saved you? You're burying the lead here.
Well, so we finally got the credentials. We come back and we get in, but we had no idea where we were going. And a guy who didn't need credentials goes flying past us, and his name is Lou Piniella. Good old Lou, former Cubs skipper, Lou Piniella. And so, you know, like any veteran sports writer would do, you just follow Lou Piniella, right? And that's what we did. He said, hey. We said, hey. We finally found our spot. Realized we were the only two Chicago writers covering the game. Got hit by a storm. And that was the night. It was fun.
Hey, that's what you get for going early.
Yeah, I guess so. Apparently, when there's a storm in Arizona, you're just supposed to stay home. I did not know that. But it's all good. And then the other most important question here on Twitter, and I appreciate this question from @Chris, once again with the numbers. This is an _19761. How much does Wisconsin win by tomorrow?
Ooh.
Yeah.
What do you got?
You know, I got to say, I don't like this matchup. Villanova had nobody to guard Ethan Happ and Nigel Hayes. Florida is not necessarily skilled in their front court, but they defend you, and they're long and athletic. And that's the kind of matchup I think is a problem for Wisconsin. So now if Bronson Koenig wants to hit 7 threes again, they'll probably win. But I kind of think Florida's going to win this game.
I felt like a few years ago, maybe I'm going back even 5 or 8 years, that the Big Ten, everybody thought they were having a down year. And then they had 3 or 4 teams make the Sweet 16. And then I think no teams made it to the Elite Eight. So how many teams do the Big Ten have in right now? 3?
They had 3 to start the night. As we finish up recording this on Tuesday night, Purdue and Michigan are out of there.
See what I mean?
And Purdue got crushed by Kansas tonight. So, yeah.
See what I mean? And there were people chirping on Twitter, to use a hockey term, that, hey, who said the Big Ten was down? And here, okay, making it to the Sweet 16 is an achievement.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you know, we're on a podcast together. You don't have to subtweet me right here on the air. I mean, you can just call me out.
All right. Okay, I did. But I feel like I'm a Big Ten backer, but I had this feeling. But you weren't the only one. It was like nationwide writers from all, you know, not just Chicago writers, but from, you know, both coasts, you know, Big Ten what? 3 teams. Here we go, Sweet 16. Again, it's an achievement. But I feel like we've had this story before where they get to the Sweet 16 and they all lose ugly. And no one advances to the Elite Eight. Maybe one team does. So maybe Wisconsin, your Badgers are that one team.
Yeah, well, that'd be nice. I am here in Arizona. I drove by the building where this Final Four is going to be next week. I won't be here, but I'd be fine if Wisconsin is. All right, we should get out of here.
I do want you to promise me one thing.
Yes.
So the owner's meeting breakfast is when you're sitting next to John Fox. They usually have that beautiful buffet of food right there. eat during the entire interview with John Fox. I think it would be hilarious.
Why?
No one eats.
Absolutely
nobody eats until the interviews are over.
And then all the food's cold.
Yeah, well, they put it out. So this time, grab a full plate of food, like a dozen pancakes, some sausages, offer Fox some bacon, sit right next to him. See how long it takes for him to comment on your full plate of food. You should do it.
Okay. I might take you up on that. I'm going to let you go to bed because you're about to have an infant in your life again. And you need to get some sleep, and I need to stop annoying all these fine people that are staying at the Spring Hill Suites here in Arizona, listening live to Hogan Johns, episode 83. All right, good luck with everything. I got to find a new podcast partner for the next episode, I think, or we'll just do it when I get home. We'll figure it out.
Let me know, man.
See you, buddy. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Talk to everybody soon.